Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast, a show that provides real-world tips, tricks, and advice to all working mamas on how they can have a career, family, and hopefully one day break the glass ceiling.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Working Mama Podcast. Today we have a fantastic episode with Stephanie Kate Bratton, who is a mum, a lawyer, and also an author. Wow, she certainly packs a lot into her day. And she's written a book that's a little bit different for children, where she actually has written her book about what different types of lawyers do, and then she's extended this out to other job families as well, such as My Mum is an Engineer and things like that. But also during this chat that I had with Stephanie, she talks about her experiences as the primary breadwinner, and her husband was the stay-at-home dad for a number of years. It's a really interesting chat, and also going through the perceptions from other people on their makeup. Her and her husband are now working part-time and really juggling both their careers. It's such an interesting chat, and one that we don't hear that much of at the moment, and hopefully may do so more in the future. So let's get into it. But before we do, just want to quickly let you know about the Working Mama Village and some really exciting news. Rather than it being a closed membership and you can only join when I open the doors, which has been few and far between, I know, what I'm going to decide to do now, it's constantly and forever open. So this means you can join whenever you like, this amazing supportive community to help you thrive and navigate life as a working mum. So join today and love to see you there. You also get a free welcome call that you can also use as a bit of a mentoring session with myself, and I'd love to get to know you a lot better. So welcome to join. Now also, if you could leave a rating or review of the Working Mama Podcast and recommend this to friends and family, that would be absolutely amazing. But I know you're absolutely looking forward to getting into this episode with Stephanie. So let's get into it.
Welcome, Steph. Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast. How's your day going so far?
Good, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been really looking forward to this.
I can't wait. So why don't we just get straight into it? How would you best describe yourself?
You know, this was a question that took some thinking. And when I thought about it, I thought, you know, I care really deeply about people, about the work that I do, take a lot of pride in my job and in my family. So I care very deeply. And I'm always just a little bit dissatisfied. I always want to do just a little bit more, you know, take that next step, do a little bit more work. I wish there was, you know, more hours in the day. So I think those are the two kind of core parts of me that really drive who I am and what I do.
Very, very good. Look, you aren't alone. I ask that question to everyone that comes on the podcast, and I think it's their first immediate of, oh my goodness, because we never really reflect on ourselves. So it's always a challenge.
Exactly.
So what's been your career journey to date?
Well, I studied law and journalism at university, and then I came out of uni and did a clerkship with Clayton Utz, one of the big commercial law firms in Australia. And I'll be honest, I spent the majority of my time there actually on secondment in-house. I think I realized very quickly I was not going to be a private practice lawyer, and maybe I would be better suited to be inside a business. And after that, I took a job with Amazon in the US. So I went and practiced overseas, and you might think, oh, well, maybe you were doing Australian law. I was not. So that was a real learning curve. And I practiced in the States, and I kind of looked after things in the US and globally as well before returning back to Australia with Amazon to work actually on Australian businesses. And just very recently left that job, and I've now taken a role as the general counsel for AgriFutures Australia, which is a Commonwealth corporate entity. So it's still a corporate, but fully government funded.
Wow, what a journey. Mm-hmm. And what was it like working for Amazon? Because I've often heard of the, you know, you've very set times and more of their production side of things. So what was it like, yeah, being in the US and also having a family as well in another country?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was a bit trepidatious about taking the job with Amazon, if I can be honest about that, because Amazon didn't exist in Australia when I got offered the role, the retail side of the business. And right before I got offered the role, there was that very public New York Times article about how everybody at Amazon is miserable and they work too hard and it's a, you know, terrible place to work. And so I was kind of nervous about the idea of moving overseas to a country that I had never even visited, you know, starting this new life. I know it's crazy when I think about it now. I was quite naive and I just thought, well, America, they speak English. It's going to be pretty close to living in Australia. And I took a chance. It just so happened that at the time my husband was really eager to have a bit of a break from his work, and he loves snow skiing. And it took, you know, a quick Google search to figure out how far away the snow fields were from the Amazon office. And he was right there in my corner, encouraging me to take that job. So we moved to the States and I took that role, and my expectations were fairly low. You know, I thought there was a decent chance I would get back on a plane within the first year. And I just had an incredible time. I really did. I was given a lot of responsibility, but in a situation where I also had a lot of support and coaching and encouragement. And so I learned rapidly because of what I was expected to do, but I didn't necessarily feel like I was just out there in a vacuum, you know, trying to figure out this new landscape on my own. So for me, I had a very positive experience. And I think the other thing that helped was at the time that I was hired, Amazon had hired, I think it was like 10 other Australian lawyers and their families all moved to Seattle. So we did have a little expat community of people who were going through the same learning journey at the same time. And that really helped to make it a more comforting, kind of supportive experience as well.
And what was it like with your husband, I guess, being probably the primary carer, you're the one that's at work, but also then with kids in a foreign country? What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was absolutely wild. So my husband, he took a gap year to go skiing full time. We had no children when we moved over there. We adopted one dog and then a second dog. And so he was, you know, skiing and caring for the dogs. And then we bought a house. And so we got to the end of his first gap year and he said, "Hey, listen, I feel like I just really need another ski season. I'm not ready to go back." And honestly, he had made my life so easy for that year. Like, you know, he made dinner, the house was cleaned, everything was taken care of, bills were paid, taxes filed. You know, the admin was just completely lifted off my plate, which was an amazing situation to be in. And so I thought, all right, well, fair enough. He followed me around the world for this job. You can have a second gap year. We could afford it. So he did that. And then at the end of the second gap year, I became a little bit nervous about the idea of him going back to work, because by 2 years of having, you know, 100% household support, the idea of having to pick up half of the household duties again was frankly terrifying. And so, you know, he said, "Hey, listen, I think I might work part-time." And I was like, "That sounds amazing." So we had a period of almost 4 years where he was, you know, the predominant person at home, and we didn't have any kids at that point. So my first son was actually born in the States right at the beginning of COVID.
Oh, wow.
And yes, that was a harrowing experience. We expected that our families, you know, my husband's Australian as well, that our families would be able to come and visit and support us through the postpartum period. And we had a whole plan for, you know, me to return to work. And I felt very strongly that I wanted to go back to work into the same job that I had already done so that I could evaluate, you know, whether I felt the same. I had this, I'm not sure if this is how other mums feel, especially first time mums, but I had this real kind of knowledge gap where I was wondering, you know, am I going to have this baby and just become a completely different person who, you know, doesn't want to work anymore, and I just want to be at home all the time with my child? Maybe there's just some like revolutionary personality change that happens that I'm not anticipating. And so I thought, well, I'll go back to the same job I've already done, and that will give me objective data to make a decision about whether it's, you know, the fact that I just want to be at home with my kids or whether, you know, I enjoy the work. So that all got turned up on its head because of COVID. And my son was born just after the international border closures. So none of our family could come and visit and support us. In fact, even in the hospital that he was delivered in, the nurses were not permitted into our rooms except for, you know, it was like once every 4 hours they could come in.
Oh my goodness.
So we were first time parents, completely alone, locked in a hotel room effectively with this baby that we had no idea how to care for because of course our pre-birth classes were all cancelled because of COVID. And yeah, I mean, there was just so much that happened in relation to COVID that was a challenge that I went home from the hospital 24 hours after my C-section.
And, 24 hours. Oh my yes. goodness. I had my second as a cesarean as well. And I could not have imagined going home 24 hours after him.
Yeah. Well, we just decided because the nurses couldn't come in frequently enough and we felt quite alone and unsupported, frankly. I mean, this is not to blame them. They were doing their jobs and we didn't know much about COVID at that stage. So they were just following protocol. But we were fortunate enough to have been able to hire a midwife to come to our house. And so we decided it would be better for me to be at home with the care of the private midwife kind of for the hours that we have her than to be in the hospital with kind of not that much support. So we did that. We went and we promptly evaluated our life choices and decided it was time to move back to Australia. But we had a bit of a problem there too, because my son, having been born in America, was American. And he was entitled to be Australian because my husband and I are Australian, but he was not Australian by birth. We had to go through a process of getting him his citizenship certificate and a passport. And again, because of COVID, there was no consulate in our city. We were in lockdown. We couldn't travel to California to get him recognized as Australian. And because of the border closures, my husband and I could move back to Australia, but my, you know, weeks old son was not able to come.
Oh my goodness.
He was not an Australian citizen. So it was a roller coaster ride to try and bring him home. And it took a lot of lobbying of the government, a lot of effort to try and get him some paperwork to demonstrate that he is Australian, and then to get us on that plane and get us back through hotel quarantine. Just would not recommend doing that with a 4-month-old that's going through a sleep regression.
Yeah.
Give it 0 out of 10 stars. And yeah, that was really our experience of, you know, living in the States with a baby. And I, you know, now in retrospect, in 2023, it seems like a terrible horror movie.
Oh yeah. It's just, yeah, I think being in another country trying to come home, that just takes it up. Yeah. I had a baby in 2021. So yeah, lockdown was announced that night. And
oh, great.
Yeah. So it was like, I was about to go into the delivery suite because I was having a cesarean because he was breech.
Yes.
Everyone's talking about going into lockdown and my obstetrician's going, it's her birthday. Can we just focus on delivering this baby? And mm-hmm. then you can worry about what holiday plans have been cancelled for you. So yeah, it's one crazy. Of those times it's in this vortex and you're like, oh, I don't really want to go back there. No.
Yeah. Well, and I had a second baby. I had a 2021 baby as well. So I had a 2020 baby in America, and then I had a 2021 baby in Australia at the end of the year. And I thought that I was not going to have a second COVID. I, you know, having returned to Australia, my perspective was, wow, look at this country where people can roam the streets. Like, I walked out of hotel quarantine and there were no masks and people were walking around the streets. And I thought, wow, you know, people are living a normal life here. This is unbelievable. And I fell pregnant with my second child. And then lockdown after lockdown. And I was like, how am I having a second COVID baby? This is crazy. But my second child was not a C-section. And so my first child was also breech. And so again, I didn't stay in the hospital very long the second time. And it was quite a different experience, even though they were both COVID babies, you know, just completely different experiences.
And you talked a little bit earlier about how you weren't sure about the identity shift, which a lot of people also refer to as matrescence. How have you now reflected on that? Has it changed your perceptions of parenting and having a career? And how has that, what you thought you may have been like versus what you, you know, what is reality today? Do you want to just take us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I guess being a parent was mysterious to me. I'm the eldest in my family, and I didn't really know anybody who had little kids who had gone through this process before. And so the mystery of it seemed to me that, you know, people become parents and then they magically fall in love with their children and never want to go back to work again. I think that was some sort of fantasy that I created in my head based on nothing, maybe the media.
Yeah.
And it didn't really sound like me. And every time I said to my husband, you know, I just don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe I won't want to go back to work, which obviously was terrifying for him as someone who had chosen to be at home. And frankly, he really wanted me to go back to work. So, and he just kept saying, I just don't believe that it's going to change you this fundamentally. And it didn't change me that fundamentally. I really struggled with return to work, in fact, both times. And I think for me, it was less about this kind of idea of, you know, now that I'm a mum, am I a different person? And more about this kind of split identity that I had, you know, where I'm a lawyer and I'm also a mum, and I don't know how those two things fit together in a way that feels good to me. And my takeaway, I guess, is in my profession, in the legal profession, I think we are called so often to be defined by our jobs. You know, we are expected to be lawyers 100% of the time and give everything we have to that. And certainly by the point that I was up to in my career when I had my son, that was core to my identity. Being a lawyer was who I was. And so having this, you know, tension between that and being a mom, which, you know, if you look at it really pragmatically, great example is, you know, I was still breastfeeding when I went back to work with my first child. He was only 4.5 months old. And I just could not figure out how to schedule enough gaps in my workday to pump. Like, it seems like a really basic thing to figure out, and I could not manage to get it right. And I felt like I just didn't have enough time in the day to pump and to work to it, you know, in the way that I wanted to, right? I think my expectation for myself was I will still be an incredible lawyer, and I will also be an incredible mum. And I had to figure out, you know, what does that really mean? What does that really look like? You know, do I have to pump and breastfeed and take every meeting that people want to have with me in order to be both of those things? So really for me, about merging those two identities and figuring out what the right balance was.
And how have you gone about that? And how do you think you're navigating it now? And I know this isn't probably a destination, and it's, yeah, because I think pumping.
Not well. Yeah. I better every day, maybe, is the right answer. It has been a continuous journey of improvement. And I think my whole life has been a journey of releasing perfectionism, getting comfortable with, you know, doing enough to feel proud of what I've done, but not so much that it takes away from other areas of my life. And it's a bit of a continuation of that journey. But certainly it feels difficult. I think I'm doing it okay from the outside. I feel like if I look at the, you know, the outputs, it's okay, but it certainly doesn't feel good. Yeah. I haven't reached the point where I also feel good about it.
Which part do you find is the more challenging, or is it just both parts of being able to give one part to your work self and then also, I guess, your mum self?
Yeah. You know, the thing that I find most challenging is that it is very easy for me to do my job the way that I want to do it. I find myself slipping in to just, I'll just send this one more email. If I just spend another 20 minutes, oh, my kid's eating dinner and watching some TV. I'll just pull out the laptop and, you know, take care of that one thing. It's very easy for me to slip into that. And that is the biggest challenge. And I think it's because I want to do that. I want to do my work to a level of, you know, to a level where I'm happy with it. And I haven't yet figured out how to feel the value in the parenting. I think it's so difficult with, you know, parenting to quantify what it is that you're doing, right? In a work context, you send an email, you finish a contract. There are, you know, milestones you can mark to say, hey, I completed something and I did a good job. In the parenting landscape, it's like, I played with my kid and I did some dishes and then I did some more dishes and a load of laundry, like, and those things come back. And so you feel like, where are the milestones of things that I'm achieving? You have to almost measure the value in a different way. And so that for me is the challenge, is like, how do I recognize, you know, obviously aside from the love that I feel for my children,
yeah.
and having a great time with them, but how otherwise do I measure the value that I'm getting from that time that I'm spending with them?
Yeah. And certainly doing clothes washing and putting dinner on the table. You're like, yep, I've done that for the day, but my goodness, it comes back around again, exactly the same thing coming. The next day.
That's right. That's right. So it doesn't feel as satisfying, I think, as, you know, some of the work things that we do.
And you said that your husband used to be the primary carer earlier. Mm. What's your current setup between yourself and your husband?
Yeah. So I recently left my role at Amazon and started a new role, which is part-time, and I am loving that. So we have transitioned into a stage where both my husband and I are working part-time, and I'm very conscious of the current economic climate, and I know how privileged we are to be able to do that. It's something that we're both very, very grateful for. What is interesting about this is that in a lot of ways, he is still the primary caregiver. And I think our roles are reversed, but I expect that that is something that maybe a lot of women feel if they were the primary caregiver to begin with, even when things are shuffled and people are juggling, maybe they kind of always carry that burden. And I'm very conscious of it, but I think he certainly does still carry the default parent badge of honor.
Yeah. So how did you come about to that arrangement, and what was the conversation like? Because I know that this sounds unique. Sadly, it shouldn't necessarily be unique, but I know that to some people it would be, oh my goodness, how is this actually working and how did you get to this arrangement?
Yeah, it is. You know what? It is unique. And I think that's somewhat sad, but it has been true in my experience that people do kind of react being like, oh, not necessarily with judgment, certainly with curiosity, but enough to recognize that it's unusual. I think very early on in our marriage, we knew that I really enjoyed working and he dabbled. And it just in terms of our personalities, I really like to be busy and doing things and achieving things. And he really liked to just be, you know, he's a very contented person. And when we discussed having kids, he had always said, you know, oh, I would love to stay at home with the kids. You know, that would be amazing. And I had always said, well, it will be my decision. So I wasn't necessarily sure that I wanted to be at home with them, but I did want the option. And as we progressed, you know, we went to America. He was already at home before we had the kids. He was just loving life as a stay-at-home husband. And I was really enjoying my work. And at the time that we had our first child, it didn't make sense for him to go back to work. So, you know, it was COVID. I had a ready-made job lined up in Australia, work from home because everybody was in lockdown. And it just made sense for me to go back to work. And that aside, you know, we agreed it was a good and necessary experiment for us to do that so that I could figure out how I felt. And so I went back to work. That transition was very difficult, but I enjoyed working and I worked through my second pregnancy as well. And then when we came out of COVID and I had my second child, we went back to the drawing board a little bit because I started to wonder whether I really wanted to be at work full time or not, whether I wanted to be at home with the kids. I was feeling, you know, a real mix of guilt and, you know, concern for him and his career and, you know, wanting there to be a bit more fairness and balance in our lives. And he wanted me to go back to work. So, I mean,
how interesting.
You know, The thing is, in our relationship, I have always earned significantly more money than him, and I have always enjoyed working more than he has. And so if you just look at it on paper, it makes sense for us to have the roles that we do. It has slightly shifted now. As I said, we're both working part-time, and part of that was because I just felt like I was having to trade off time with my children for work and vice versa. Like every time I made time to be there with them, you know, if they had a special appointment and I wanted to go, or they, you know, had a presentation at daycare and I wanted to attend, I would absolutely make time for that. And I would be 100% present. But in the back of my mind was this knowledge that I would have to make that up somehow. I would pay for that at work at some other point in time. Mm. And I hated that feeling of, you know, this is a trade-off. I am choosing to be here and I am here 100%, but I know that I will pay for this. And so that's where the choice to go part-time really came in. It was less about us as a couple juggling our careers and more about me as a person, feeling like I had the freedom to be both a lawyer and a mum in the ways and to the degree that I wanted to be.
I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that so openly, because I know that there are so many people that I speak with, and I was only having a conversation with someone last week who is also a lawyer as well, that grapples with this exact topic. So yeah, and you're saying it's really not that one or the other, as what you're saying, it's trying to find that balance. And I don't know about you, but so much stigma is put upon you of you must work, if you work full time or you're part-time, and the perception of can you still have as good a career if, you know, maybe choose to work 4 days a week or something like that. But I personally believe that you can. Hmm. And I'm certainly striving to do that. But it's one of those things of the perception about the hours versus the output. And we feel like that we have to compromise if we're working part-time. But in reality, we're probably more efficient and probably have higher output than if we're working those 5 days a week. But we guess we still want to be there for our kids. And I think it's no matter if they're young, if they're, you know, 2 years old, or if they're 15 years old, we still want to be there for our kids no matter what.
Absolutely. And something that you touched on there was this idea of perception. I think the comments that I made just before this are really about my internal kind of feelings and perception, and or perhaps even within our marriage. But also, we don't exist in a vacuum. And our decisions are, as you say, it's unique. It's a unique situation. And it has been so fascinating being so aligned as a couple on what we're doing and continuing to face comments from outsiders, you know, about the choices that we've made. And, you know, I don't mean to say that people are being judgmental. I don't think they are. I just think they don't understand it. And it has consequences. You know, the fact that we are not in a vacuum has consequences. And the example that I would give is, you know, somebody texts and they say, oh, you know, your son's birthday is coming up. Are there any presents I should buy him? What's he into right now? What size of clothes does he wear? And when I was working full time and my husband was at home, I didn't know the answers to any of those questions. And, you know, that really kind of impacted this nice little bubble that we had, where we as a couple had agreed on what we were doing and we felt really good about it. Kind of, you know, get these questions coming in that rock our world a little bit, that make you feel like, oh, other people expect that I should know these things and I don't.
Yeah, it's that sharing of the mental load, which clearly for you and your husband is very well shared. I only had the same thing the other day. Someone called me about my kids' Christmas presents and I'm like, it was my mother-in-law. You could quite easily have called your own son, who would very well know the answer to that. You don't have to call me just because I'm the mum. You can also call your own son, who would very easily know the answer. So
yeah, exactly. And I found too, you know, when I left my full-time job, and I was mentioning this to you just slightly before we started recording the podcast, but for the benefit of our listeners, I left my full-time job and I decided I would take a gap year. And I very quickly realized that year was never going to be a year because being at home full-time was just way, way too much for me. And then, you know, I decided to take this new role. When I left my job, I had a whole bunch of people saying to me, oh my goodness, what are you doing? I just don't believe this. You're not going to be at home. Like, you have this amazing career. Why are you giving it up? So that was one camp of people. And then another camp of people were saying, it's so great that you've chosen to be at home with your children. And I really, you know, I spent a solid 4 to 6 weeks after I left my job struggling with both of those types of conversations, because I really didn't know what to say to the people who were saying, it's so great you've decided to, you know, be with your children. It didn't feel like a very final decision for me. It felt like, you know, an experiment. And I was kind of then wondering, well, what if I choose to go back? Does that mean that I don't love my children? And then for the people who were saying, you know, you've given up your career, what are you doing? You know, again, to them, I kind of was like, I don't know if I am giving up my career. I maybe am going to take something part-time. And I truly believe that I can continue to learn and grow as a lawyer in a part-time role. You know, I don't think that's career suicide at all. I think that's just looking for some balance, you know, something that works for me right now. But yeah, two very difficult conversations to have, and just a real example and a reminder for me that, again, what we want to do within ourselves and the decisions that we make for ourselves and within our families, they are part of a bigger world and we have to live with that reality.
Yeah, I often say everyone's journey is their own and try and block out as much as noise, because no one knows what is your circumstance versus next circumstance. What you see is just a window and a very small part about what's going on. You don't know what the circumstances are, financial, emotional, family dynamics and the like. So, you know, everyone has a reason. I even had people questioning me going, from 3 to 4 days of work. Oh, why are you doing that? And are you sure you're going to cope and things? So it's really interesting, the perceptions and that. And I've just gone, I don't care what people think. This is what works for me. This is what works for my husband and our kids. I think every day they're like, right, where are we going today, Mum? What's happening? But I think that I'm a better mum because of it. And I think I have, people say to me, do you have much guilt? I'm like, well, I know my kids are happy. I'm happy. My husband's happy. So it's working for us. May not work for everyone, but I can't help that. But
yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're a better woman than I. I mean, I think this comes back to, how would you describe yourself at the beginning? I care too deeply. I care what people think. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do, but I'm probably going to care about the comments. Yeah.
Oh, there's one comment someone said to me about 2 months ago. And for probably about 2 weeks after that, I was like, am I a bad mum? Should I feel guilty? Am I guilty? Is this bad? So, no, there's these things that stick with me and I'm going, it made me really reflect and I'm going, no, I've got to come back to what my why is. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. So just stay on that path. But it's amazing. Just those little comments can also make you doubt yourself.
Exactly. And I doubt that people are, you know, intending to cause harm, right? No. You know, this is just people who are curious and well-meaning and have different backgrounds or expectations. And, you know, they genuinely want to know why you're making those choices. But I think it's hard as mums and as parents not to take that to heart.
Yeah. I even had, like, my sister and my brother-in-law both work 4 days a week each. And so they have a day off with the kids. And I even remember my brother-in-law going back after his parental leave. My mom was like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen with his career? She was more worried about his career than my sister's career. So it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Just the different perceptions.
Yeah.
Now, Steph, you've also written, and how we actually connected was through a LinkedIn post that you did. I know that went viral because you've written a series of books, which I think is absolutely amazing. A, just to write a book, but also for kids. Do you want to explain what these books are and how did it come about? Because I, even as I was preparing for this podcast, My husband saw my computer screen and he said he saw the title, My Mummy is a Lawyer. And he's like, what? Like, what is this? So, yeah, do you want to just give us some background?
Yeah, absolutely. So it really resulted from this group that I'm a part of, a separate group for lawyer mums. And there were discussions in that group from time to time about, you know, how do you describe what you do for work? People being invited to events, you know, to their children's kindergarten classroom or other places to talk about what it means to be a lawyer. And there were some really funny stories about, you know, trying to describe what it is that we do. And in witnessing this kind of unfold, I realized that, you know, there are so many different types of lawyers, and we all do very different things depending on what our jobs involve. And when I had gone to look for books to explain to my kids what I do at work, and because I was the one working and my husband was at home, you know, I did want to have some conversations with my kids about, you know, what does mummy do when she goes out the back door to her office? But I couldn't find any books that were appropriate because I am not a litigator. I don't appear in court. If I ever had to, I would be very nervous about that. So I wanted to write a book that talked about the different kinds of lawyers that were out there, and particularly lawyers who don't appear in court. So I wrote the first book. It's a rhyming book aimed at 3 to 7 year olds, and it talks about the different kinds of lawyers and what they do in very basic language and using concepts that children are familiar with. So we talk about making a promise, or if you trip over and hurt yourself, someone might write a letter. So really basic language. And then once I started talking to some friends and colleagues about, oh, you know, I've written this book, people said, oh, I have that problem too. People don't know, you know, I can't explain to my kids what it is that I do. And because I was working at Amazon at the time, a lot of the jobs were very complicated. You know, there are software engineers and there are data scientists and product managers and people doing really complex technological things and wanting to explain to their kids what that means. And I thought, I'm pretty sure I can do this for those jobs. It was definitely tougher to describe those very technical roles in rhyming language for that 3 to 7 year old age bracket. But so that's my second book, My Mummy is in Tech. My husband, he's a civil engineer. He wanted a book and he was like, well, you know, there are so many different kinds of engineers too. Mm. And I was like, you're right. Amazing. So I wrote a book about all the different kinds of engineers. My brother-in-law is a mining engineer. So, you know, got a few different engineering types in the family. Plus, what kid doesn't like to see drones and little mini explosions in the mine and trucks? I mean, that for sure is my kid's favorite of the series so far. And then the fourth book came about because of conversation that I had with a very close family friend who said, you know, there's so much work that parents do that is unpaid and unrecognized. And I thought, you are absolutely right. And so the fourth book is about all of that unpaid work that we do, the work that we do to figure out what our kid needs, how we can support them, you know, particularly if they have some, you know, health challenges or other things that they need developmentally. My kid certainly does, to then seek out the resources, to figure out the doctors, to find, you know, what sort of appointments they might need and navigate all of that. You know, we're really learning a whole new skill set in order to be able to do that for our kids. And that is hard work and it should be recognized. And so the fourth book really encapsulates that part of, you know, being a parent.
That's fantastic. And what's the response been like?
It's been absolutely mind-blowing. You know, I really thought that I was writing this book, My Mummy is a Lawyer, for myself and some friends, some colleagues who would appreciate it. And I did not expect the reception that it received. You know, the LinkedIn post that you were talking about got over 660,000 impressions. It had like thousands and thousands of comments, and it just seemed to really resonate with people. It seemed like there was an unmet need there. And a lot of the feedback that I've received has been from parents saying, you know, it really just felt like I was seen, like I could have these two parts of me and they could be, you know, unified, and that was valuable, you know? And I think my favorite part of all of this is that parents who I don't know, other lawyers, send me messages saying, you know, I read that book and it just feels like one big warm hug. And I love that. I love that. I wrote it for myself to give myself a big warm hug. And so I'm glad that other people are really feeling that reassurance and that love.
That's awesome. It probably demystifies as well for some people. My husband's a lawyer and people have got no idea what he does. And I just tell people he argues people for a living. So I'm never going to win an argument because he's in litigation. So he's a professional arguer. That's what I say. And yeah, and I also work in the engineering space. And yeah, it demystifies, what's going on, and probably also gives inspiration to young kids of going, that sounds good. I could be an engineer and I could be a lawyer. And yes, you go after a job in tech because they're also STEM related industries, which we need more women in. So
exactly right. I think my favorite message that I received was from another mum who's a lawyer. I don't know her, but in preparation for book week, her kid was going to go as something, can't remember what. And the night before brought her the book, My Mummy is a Lawyer, and said, Mum, I want to go as you tomorrow.
Oh, and that gives me chills.
It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And she, you know, dressed her up and she took her book. And I think because she had an understanding of what it is that my mum does, an understanding beyond, you know, she types on her computer and talks on the phone. And you know, and so she wanted to be that. If you can see it, you can be it. And I think that's so valuable.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that story gives me chills. That's so good. Now, Steph, what do you do to fill your cup?
You know, I didn't know if I should be honest about this because I'm not really sure if this is self-care, so don't come after me. But the number one thing that I need to be a pleasant human being is to sleep in a little bit in the morning. And so my husband gets up with kids and I get to sleep in until 8 or 8, really as close to my first morning meeting as I can manage. And that for me, that is the number one thing that I do that is self-care, just sleeping in the morning, getting that extra rest. I'm a bit of a poor sleeper and I don't sleep great in the evenings, bit of a night owl. So that the fact that we've done that is my favorite thing. I kind of regularly battle a bit of guilt about it, even though my husband is happy to get up in the morning, but it is just so key for me to get just that extra hour and a half of sleep. So that's number one thing. I don't know if that's self-care. I think it is. Otherwise I like to walk. We've got two dogs. We go on a family walk with a double pram and two dogs. It's quite a sight. It fills my cup.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I have absolutely loved this chat. How can people get in touch with you?
Oh, well, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's a great place to start. My books are available on Amazon in any country that you shop for Amazon in. So if you're in the US or the UK or, you know, Germany, France, just look at your local website and type in the title. You'll find it. Otherwise, I have a website. It's my name, stephanie-katebratton.com.au, where you can check out more about the series.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait to see how the books evolve. I'm sure, no doubt, there'll be more. So congratulations on everything you've done so far. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story and your experiences as a working mum.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Working Mama podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast catcher. Please also feel free to contact me on any of the Working Mama social channels. Remember, Mama is MUMMA, or website www.workingmama.com.au. I would appreciate you to share this podcast with friends and colleagues, especially those that are parents managing the juggle. And I would really appreciate if you had to take the time out to leave a review of the podcast. Thank you and see you next time. Have a great week.